We begin with Ketzush Shulchan Aruch, Simon Lamed Hei, Siv Ches. Mitzvah Hefresh is Challah, the merits of taking off Challah, which we have been discussing. Shaychas L'Isha Balabayis belongs to the woman. This mitzvah belongs to her. And as we said, that at the time of taking Challah, it's a time for the woman to be mispalled to daven, particularly for good children. If a husband wants to have the ability, the privilege to take off the challah, he has to get permission from his wife. Ach im eish ene bebeisa, if the wife is not home, we need to be concerned. Ki be'ocha tova deskalka lisa, till she gets home, the dough will get ruined. Az yichol gam mishersis, then the help, adam achro, anyone, lahafrish. And the halacha is that this could be done even without getting their specific permission. We have to make sure that the mitzvah is done. There's a question where we're not quite sure if the dough is going to get ruined. So if it's a person that the woman of the home usually gives a permission to take off the dough, the challah, so she could assume that under these circumstances she was given such permission. But if it's not so the case, so then it's a question of, can they take without permission? One has to judge the specifics of the situation. If one forgot to take off challah from the challah on Erev Shabbos, so if somebody is not home, and wherever he is, he remembered that in his home there is challah from which the challah was not removed, and it's in a situation where he can't get back home on time before Shabbos to take off challah, he should say that a specific part of the challah should be designated as challah. And then when he comes back on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, he should take that spot, that of the challah, and discard it or put it away, that it should be challah. In the case, however, if he wasn't aware that he had this problem and he only became aware of it on Shabbos, and on Shabbos that one may not take off challah, and that's one of the reasons why the Gemara Masechet Shabbos teaches us that one of the questions one should ask in his home on Friday afternoon is, did you take off challah? And one of the reasons why we don't have this minig anymore of everybody asking this question is A, because not everybody bakes their own challahs, and B, that's one of the reasons why the challahs, the bread that we eat on Shabbos, is called challah. That every time we have that bread, we remember that we need to take off challah. So if such a situation where you realize that the challah wasn't removed, if this happens in Chutz Laretz, so what Oichlem Shabbos, you should eat from the loaf on Shabbos, Omnich Chatich Echas, leave over a slice of bread, Omnich Frish Menachal Matzah Shabbos, and then Matzah Shabbos, you'll take off from what you left over the challah. But, says the Ketzush Shulchan Aruch, the piece that you leave over has to be large enough that you could take challah for it. That it shouldn't just be challah, it should be a piece that's large enough. You'll separate the portion that will be challah, and the rest that will be the regular bread. Because as you separate challah, the halacha requires the bein shiyah shiara nekerim, that it should be noticeable that you separated one part is challah and one part is not challah. This is only in Chutz Laretz where the obligation of challah is not as serious as in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, where this option doesn't work, the best approach is to make a kinyan on the challah to a cotton samach muflal ish. There means a boy who's about 12 years old, a girl who's about 11 years old, and after they own the challah, they should take off challah on Shabbos if there's no other option, if you can't get any other challah. But the big problem, says the Kutz Shulchan Aruch, is if this happens, Erev Pesach Shchali is b'Shabbos, on a year where Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, v'shachol af v'shchalim and achalash ofel kvod Shabbos, and they made challahs for Shabbos, and now you can't keep that challah left over. It's chametz. Yesh b'zem mevuka g'dayla. This is a very big problem. Akein tzar kol ish lizor b'erev Shabbos. Everybody has to be careful Erev Shabbos. L'haskel afrashas challah to make sure that challah is removed, particularly in such a year. Similar mitzvah hilchos melicha. We know that we may not eat blood, and therefore there is a salting process which is involved in removing the blood from the meat that and chicken that we eat. So says the Kitz Shulchan Aruch Kodesh Shemalchus Abasar. Before we salt the meat, Tzrichim Lehadich Oisa Yofa B'Mayim. We have to rinse it well in water, and water means water. No other type of liquid, and even water, it should not be seawater that has in it salt. We let it soak in water for about a half an hour, and we're going to learn in any situation where this process is not possible, the only way to remove the blood will be by roasting the meat. The water has to cover the entire piece of meat. In a place where there's blood accumulated on the surface of the meat, you have to rub it to get that blood off. If it came by oifus and same by birds, you have to rub well the place where they cut, became a befnim, makum sheshtambayim, and inside the cavity of the chicken, if there are any pools or places where blood accumulated. Sometimes there's blood accumulated. And what's not meant here is a black and blue mark. What's meant here is more like a blood clot, and there's a noticeable that there's a blood clot under the skin. Well, such a spot on the piece of meat has to be cut and remove it before we begin soaking the meat. If the water that you want to soak this meat in are very cold, put the water in a place where it's somewhat warm, to take off the chill, before we soak the meat in them. If the water is very cold, the meat gets hard and tough, the water will not come out afterwards through the soaking process. The Paiskim are lenient if this happened, that we could continue the melicha process. Sif Beis. If the meat was soaked in the water for 24 hours, the meat became a clear surim, because once they were soaked in it for 24 hours, they absorbed the dam. If you have a liver that was soaked in water for 24 hours, if there's anything to do with this piece of meat. Again, as much as we were concerned with very cold water, then the halach is, we're also very concerned with hot water. In fact, hot water may be more of a question than cold water, and therefore one should not use hot water or even lukewarm water. Sif Gimel. Be'er Shabbos she'en le'pnai, and Erev Shabbos when one is busy, or be'inyin she'ashad, be'inyanach she'ashad chukah, if somebody doesn't have the 30 minutes for this first step, da'el le'shav she'ef ha'itves abos b'mayim, it's enough to rub the meat with water, v'yishres achmat b'mayim, and let it just soak a little in water, sh'tein adumus b'mayim, and once it's to that point where it's there's no more redness in the water, we could go on to the malicha process. If after the shriya, after the soaking process, they cut one of the pieces of meat before they're going to go on to the malicha process, we have to rinse the place where the meat was cut, because of the blood that is found there. Sif, hey, basa shenikrish machim sakar, meat that became frozen because of the cold, trichon hashgir shiafshir, we have to be careful that that meat should be thawed out before we do the malicha. Avloy yenicheu etzol tana shehusuk, don't leave it next to a furnace to thaw out. V'shasat chak, yachal l'shroes b'mayim poishrim, we could soak it in lukewarm water, which we of course try to avoid. Sivov, hakli hamiyuchel shriyas basar, the pail or whatever is used to soak the meat, ein l'shtamish b'ladova ach shemacher, should not be used for any other purposes. They used to have a special keli, a special vessel that they used for soaking the meat. Siv Zayin, lach shenisha basar, after the meat was soaked, tzrichim lahatif men amayim, we have to take off the water that's on the surface of the meat, because we are concerned, kadesh lo yimas hamelech men amayim, that the salt that we put on the piece of meat should not dissolve, and therefore v'lo yotzi yasadam, and won't have the ability to extract the blood. On the other hand, we have to be careful that the meat should not get completely dried up, because that we don't want that when we put the salt on the meat, it should fall off. It shouldn't be very thin, fine salt, flour. Immediately dissolves on the meat, and it won't extract blood. It should be very thick. We need to be concerned it may fall off the meat. It should be not too thick and not too thin. Like salt that's made through cooking. It should be dry. That it should be spread out all over. As long as the salt was, and we know for sure that the salt was kept on the meat, then the halacha is that b'di'evid, the meat, the salt is fine. But if it was salt that went through certain real processing and has other ingredients, then we have a real issue about using such salt. Siftes, tzrichem lefaza hamelech abos b'chol tzadim, the salt has to be spread out and over the entire meat. There should be no spot without salt. When we salt chicken, birds, we have to open up the chicken that we could put the salt into the cavity of the chicken. And therefore, if there are cuts in the meat, we should put salt, that the salt should enter that cut. And the main thing is that you have to be careful that there should be salt over the entire piece of meat. And particularly when you're doing chickens, that's not a flat piece of meat. You have to be careful that there should be salt put all over. And under the, when you have the wing, you have to have salt put on top and below the wing. And the cavity of the chicken that we just spoke about should be opened before the soaking process, and we should take out all of the internal organs before we go through this entire process, and put salt inside, covering the entire cavity. Sif Yud, when you have the piece of meat with the salt on it, it has to be placed b'makom shiucho hadam lozim menehetiv, where the saw, where the blood could easily roll down. Don't put the pail with the meat in it on the floor. then it won't be able to roll off easily. Even after the meat has been the proper amount of time in salt, still, like, until you take off the salt, until you're going to rinse off the salt, we should not put it on a place where it can't roll down. And that's why not only do we put this meat on a piece, on a board that's, or on a equipment that's slanty, there's also holes on that board where the meat, where the blood could drip down. That's why if we do salting on a board, it should be put slanty. The blood should be easily come out. There shouldn't be a place where it could accumulate the blood or whatever comes out of the meat. And if you're salting a bird or a piece of meat that has a hole, has a receptacle, you have to salt it with the opening towards the bottom, like that the blood could easily pour out from the inside of that piece of chicken.